Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Ed Fulner. Formally, I am the president of the Philadelphia Society. Informally and actually, I am the figurehead caretaker ad interim number 11 of the society. Figurehead interim caretaker to Don Lipset, who of course really runs the society and has since its origins in 1964, which I will discuss very briefly shortly. Now that one of my co-hosts is here, we're able to start the proceedings because, in fact, it was my next very pleasant duty to introduce figurehead interim caretaker number one, W. Glenn Campbell, who for the first 3 years of this organization was our president, and who, together with Rita Ricarda Campbell, are our hosts at the other table here. Glenn, Rita. The other person who deserves special notice this evening, and who, until the publication of this volume, was, until then, the unindicted co-conspirator of so many worthwhile activities, who has been described by others, not including her spouse, as the original Freedmaniac, the co-author of Free to Choose, Rose Friedman. Rose? ...1982 has been a vintage year for the Philadelphia Society. Two of the five founding members have been dinner speakers. We had William Buckley speak to the 18th annual meeting in Chicago last April. And tonight, of course, we will have Professor Milton Friedman speak to us here in San Francisco. Incidentally, regarding Bill Buckley, a note. Next Thursday evening, he will be the guest of honor at a small dinner meeting for members and friends of the Philadelphia Society in Indianapolis. On next Friday, he will be the dinner speaker at the inaugural meeting of a new Philadelphia Society North to be launched in our neighbor to the north, Canada. And anyone who's interested in any of the details on either of those programs, I'd urge you to contact Don Lipset before the meeting is over. Let me ask you to indulge me for just a moment in a bit of history, because it was in October 1964 in New York City that this organization really began at a small suite at the then called Sheraton Atlantic Hotel in a neighborhood just off Herald Square, where I dare say most of us would fear to tread these days, that Don Lipset called five of us together. Among them, William Buckley, Milton Friedman, the late Frank Meyer, Don, of course, himself, and as Russell Kirk would say, your humble servant. Willa Johnson, if you don't know who that is, that's me. But I didn't think so. I was then a graduate student at the Wharton School, studying under the likes of Larry Klein, where I learned how to engage in what we, in the best Keynesian tradition over the next years in the Philadelphia Society's history, would call creative financing, as I then served as treasurer for 14 years. But that's a bit of a digression, because 1964 at that meeting was, I think, significant, because it was the first time that William Buckley and Milton Friedman ever met. And it was in that October afternoon, shortly before Barry Goldwater's national political fortunes had yet been commented on by our American electorate, that tonight's speaker threw his lot in with those of us of the Philadelphia Society. Since then, much that's good has happened both to him and to the Philadelphia Society. Regarding the latter, meetings have been held, papers have been published, and friendships developed and endured. In fact, it was 16 years later, in May of 1980, that William Buckley, upon citing Milton Friedman at a Heritage Foundation event in Washington, attempted to kiss Milton. When Milton soundly rebuked him, Buckley asked, "What does the King of Sweden have that I don't have?" That little incident is recounted in Buckley's most recent volume, by the way. It was about that time, 1980, just 2 years ago, with Free to Choose at the height of its popularity on television, the book selling 400,000 copies in hardbound in 10, 11, 12 languages worldwide, with Milton Friedman offering counsel to a political candidate, a fellow, if you will, of the Hoover Institution, a former governor of Colorado, and, of California. You're doing pretty well until then, wasn't it? Who was to prove, in fact, more successful than Senator Goldwater. But despite the blandishments of that successful politician, Milton did not succumb to pleas to come back to Washington and join the new administration. Perhaps he had heard of David Eisenhower's law. The best way to stay normal is to stay away from the White House. Well, tonight I would give you the reciprocal of David Eisenhower's law, which I am hereby coining as Michael Deaver's law. The best way to use economists for certain political purposes is to avoid members of the Chicago School. During the intervening years, our speaker this evening also avoided various entreaties, most of them, I think, given after many hours of social libation at Philadelphia Society meetings by some of our fellow members like Jameson Campaign and Louis Demlow and others who seem to be perennial co-chairmen of the ABP Committee in Illinois, anybody but Percy Committee in Illinois, to try and get Milton to run for senator or whatever else Milton wanted to run for. And that brings to mind a riddle that Don Lipset recently supplied me with. What do you get if you cross Congress with a hog? The answer, of course, is nothing. There are some things even a hog wouldn't do. Is that all right, Margo? Actually, that was not first coined with regard to the United States Congress. It was first coined with regard to the Indiana legislature, which brings to mind two members, one current, one deceased, unfortunately, both prominent Hoosiers who also had their own laws over the year to contribute, and both laws being rather relevant to this evening, I will give you both of them. Stan Evans first. Stan Evans' law. Never get into an argument or debate with Milton Friedman on any subject. Second law, by the late Ben Rogie, more tactfully and academically perhaps, but equally to the point. Milton Friedman and I agree on many issues, but there are some issues we disagree on also. But this seems to worry me a hell of a lot more than it worries him. Recall it was the late Ben Rogie who in 1973 or 74, when asked rhetorically why we were called the Philadelphia Society, responded immediately, "Because our national meeting is always held in Chicago." But again, I'm digressing. My last law, and without any further ado, from a very different kind of source, a French chef by the name of Ferdinand Point, the founder of La Pyramide in Lyon. Monsieur Point said, "I am not hard to please. I am content with the very best." Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming the very best, the Philadelphia Society's very own Milton Friedman.